Hello and warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It's had the international break, but it's getting busy now. The Easter period is always good fun, particularly in the EFL. We've got Mark Langdon to preview all of the action. We'll have Dan Charles later on in the show. Strap yourselves in. Mark, I know you're usually a fan of the international breaks because you get a bit of a break. You were gallivanting around Gibraltar, living the high life. Are you back feeling refreshed?
I don't think high life and Gibraltar have ever been mentioned in the same sentence the day before. I am. I do embrace the international breaks, Jack. I think if you kind of get bored during the international break, you haven't gone hard enough during the sort of the club season. So yeah, I embrace them. It's good to have a little week off, but we are coming back at, as you mentioned, a really busy time. Dan will go through the kind of EFL Easter football, but it's one of the best kind of weekends of the football season, I think, when the EFL crunch period, playing Friday and Monday. We've got, you know, Man City versus Arsenal, biggest game of the Premier League season so far. You could argue Easter's better than Christmas.
I think so. Masters ahead of us as well, Grand National, lots
Snooker World Championship.
Absolutely, yeah. We might well get a little tip from you later on for that if you're prepared. I suspect it's easy enough for us, Mark, to embrace the international break. If you're a Welsh fan, probably slightly more difficult. I mean, that's just an absolute killer blow, isn't it? I couldn't believe it until I was reading the kind of post-match reports and stuff. It was their first ever competitive penalty shootout.
Yeah, and you know, Dan James will be hoping it's the last after he missed that vital penalty. I was watching the game and like the noise or the lack of noise when that penalty was missed was just incredible, really, because, you know, so you just know it's not only kind of that game, the heartbreak, it's like your whole summer, any of the summer plans of going to Germany and Wales would have travelled in huge numbers, like just gone.
Probably a lot of happy girlfriends and wives, I suspect. Now they can book their all-inclusive to land.
I'm not so sure. The Welsh women would have been travelling in their numbers as well, Jack. And a week's all-inclusive in Tenerife is not going to be the same as a couple of weeks in Germany. It was a real heartbreaker for them. Dan James is not the coolest customer in the penalty box, is he? I don't know after time here, but he didn't strike me as sort of, you know, that he's not Matt Letizia, is he, when it comes to penalties? I don't think so. There was a sort of nervousness about him as he walked up, but I thought Wales were the better team over the 120 minutes. I mean, with stat going around that Poland's only shots on target were their penalties. Ben Davis scored a goal that was just offside. There was a good save from Kiefer Moore. Just wasn't to be for Wales. Yeah, it's bitterly disappointing. I think just the fact that they didn't have Gareth Bale there, like he would have just done something special, wouldn't he, from sort of 30 yards and sort of smashed it into the top corner, and he would have decided a tight game like that. They haven't got it anymore. They have to be more sort of team-rounded, and you just wonder if maybe some of the younger players just a bit too young, and the older players, obviously, your Ramsey's and then Bale's retired, it was a tournament too far for them. I think it's harder to not qualify, isn't it, for the next World Cup? So hopefully they'll be going to that one in 2026. But yeah, I was disappointed for them. I know the sort of Welsh, Scots, Irish don't like England, do they, too much? But I always sort of want them to do quite well. I don't know if that's patronising in any way. I hope it's not. But yeah, I was disappointed. And also Ben Davis, he's a bit of a pod hero. He was the captain, wasn't he, of the Welsh team. And so I would love to have seen him sort of lead Wales to Germany, but it wasn't to be.
Absolutely. I was struggling to find the game with an English commentary, so I ended up watching it on S4C. And I tell you what, it was an incredibly entertaining with Welsh commentary. Didn't have a clue what they were saying.
You're friends, aren't you, with Owen Tudor-Jones? You managed to get his phone number once. So, he was more... I understood him more when I spoke to him than I did on comms the other night.
Absolutely. Yeah, heartbreak for Welsh fans. And Mark, I think the thing I've learned about you over the last few years is if I want someone to give me a hot take, you're probably not the man. And when it comes to England, I think everyone likes to you know, it's either black or white with a lot of England fans. There were a couple of friendlies, of course, a defeat and a draw, a bit of last minute drama. What were your takeaways from the Brazil and Belgium games?
Yeah, the results just don't matter, and that I know we have to fill loads of time, column inches on TV, radio, you know, social media, you know, who's hot and who's not, and just doesn't matter. And I would say that what they show in training is probably just as important to Southgate. You know, the kind of Branthway, you know, Ivan Toney, Mainoo, Bowen, those players that were on the fringes either way of being in or out. I'd imagine it's more about what they do within that whole week setup rather than sort of 60 minutes or whatever it was against Belgium. Losing to Brazil can happen. I think that, you know, no Kane around at the moment. Walker got injured. Then Stones got injured, didn't he, in the sort of second game. We'll get to what that means for Man City. I'm sure Pep Guardiola was absolutely delighted by that little sort of double treat for him. It doesn't matter. And I'm more just glad that they didn't lose to Belgium, because the noise would have been quite annoying, really, around the England national team. And I just don't think they need that going into the Euros. They're still favourites for bookmakers. The bookmakers haven't changed their opinion of England's chances, and nor of Hyatt, really.
I was about to say, on the back page of the Racing Post today, three lines: maintain favouritism for Euros despite friendly wobbles. Will you be a backer of England?
Probably, yeah, possibly. I think that they are favourites. Them and France are the two standout teams. Not much in behind them. I mean, I think if you go through that team from 1 to 11, we know Pickford's going to be in goal. Back four, Walker, Stones, Maguire, Shaw, if everybody's fit. In midfield, definitely Declan Rice. It will definitely be Bellingham. I think Saka and Foden will play. Harry Kane will play. So there's only one spot. We might get on to Mainoo in a moment. So you reel off those names, and I think it's right up there with the very sort of best in Europe. Yeah, for sure.
We were speaking off air, Mark, and I think you described Kobbie Mainoo as sort of timing his run to perfection. I think that's a nice way to put it. I mean, he must be delighted with how this season's going.
Have you seen that meme of the guy that just stands on the football, and like it's like Man United fans every time Mainoo touches the ball? And he literally just like stands on the ball and everyone goes wild. Not underrated, his performances in recent months. But yeah, he's timing his run to perfection. It's an area that I think Gareth Southgate is still debating who's best to go in there with: Rice and Bellingham. Trent Alexander-Arnold, of course, is injured at the moment. He'd be my first pick. Conor Gallagher didn't enhance his claims against Brazil. I think that's unfair. I'd rather take on board everything he's done for Chelsea this season, but it is in a slightly more advanced position for Chelsea. Jordan Henderson brings experience. Wouldn't be my pick for the team. Calvin Phillips is, you know, you can't select him if he's not playing for West Ham. And then you know my thoughts on Curtis Jones, Jack. He was the one I was putting up to play in that position. Got injured. Just how quickly he can come back. And
I was going to say, have we got a timeline on his return?
No, I don't think it's what Southgate name checked him when he did the England squad and said he hasn't forgotten about him, and he was one they were looking at, which just annoyed me even more, to be honest. But if you think that he's kind of got that injury at exactly the wrong time, just as Mainoo gets into the Man United team, starts playing well, catching eyes, and he's put himself in a great position to be in the squad, I still don't think I'd start him, but he's definitely in the running.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. There's your review of the games that didn't matter. Let's get on to some games that do matter. We'll start with our big match. It's Manchester City against Arsenal. It's 4:30 and it's on Sunday. 10 to 11, Manchester City, 14 to 5, the draw, 14 to 5. Arsenal, you've penned on the run order, Mark. Biggest game of the season. Maybe we'll get some hot takes here.
Well, it is, isn't it? And yeah, it's, as it's the last time this season where the three title challengers can directly influence the result of an opponent. So I think it is the biggest game of the season, and not just because we've got the, two of the three teams that could win the league going head to head. I think I don't usually get into the psycho babble of everything, but it does feel to me a very significant game. If City go blitz Arsenal like they did last season, the confidence they'll gain from that and the pain I think that Arsenal would suffer feeling like they've improved, but then actually being shown up that same old Arsenal would really hurt them. On the flip side of that, if Arsenal go to City, get a positive result, how that sets them up for the rest of the season, because they've got difficult away games still to come, but there's nothing more difficult than a trip to the Etihad. And if you get that out of the way unscathed, then why would you fear Tottenham, Man United, Brighton and Wolves? So it's a huge game. I don't think it can be understated. We still got, what's it, this last day of March, isn't it, the game? I think 31st of March. So there are still important games to come after it. But I think this kind of really lays down the marker for that title running. And I think it's a really interesting game. I was very positive towards Man City, I think, in my head before the international break. The Walker and Stones being, we're speaking on Thursday, so we don't know their availability. That would be a big old blow for City if they were missing two of their back four for a game of this magnitude.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just have Arsenal improved from last season? I mean, you kind of say there that it would be horrible to think you've improved and then actually just come unstuck at a similar period. But do you think there's different minerals about them this time?
It's always hard to judge, isn't it? Because that game at Anfield, where sort of earlier on this season, if the referee gives a penalty like he should have done for the handball, then maybe they lose that game and you go, well, what's changed from last season? But I think if you take the whole body of work, what they've done this season, definitely from a defensive point of view, I mean, they've got the best defence in the Premier League this season, and the underlying numbers are even more impressive than kind of the bare numbers. They are limiting teams to very few opportunities. I think that it's definitely something that Mikel Arteta looked at in the summer when they brought in Declan Rice. There was a clear goal there, I think, to make them, I suppose, more streetwise in midfield, harder to break down. Quite often in these big games, he puts another defensive midfielder in there now, with Jorginho sort of playing a protector role with Declan Rice. It allows Rice that ability to go a bit further forward. He changed the goalkeepers over. It was a controversial move when it happened. Seems to be less controversial now than it was when sort of we were first debating it a few months ago. And Raya, I don't think Ray has been outstanding and brilliant and the reason why they're kind of top of the league, but Arteta clearly feels like it was the right decision. And now we see a back four where there was a time when he was quite keen, wasn't he, on playing like Zinchenko in that left-back position, coming into midfield and spraying passes around. More often than not now, it's Kivior, who really is a centre-back, playing at left-back. And you could say, with Ben White, Saliba, Gabriel and Kivior, you've got a team of centre-halves in there, haven't you, in that back four. And the interesting thing for me is that City, if they've got Ake at left-back and maybe if Akanji has to come in at right-back as an example, or Garvidal, they could play with four centre-backs as well. So we could end up with two teams that are really perceived to love their football and play free-flowing stuff. Could be eight centre-backs on the pitch at the Etihad.
I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, Mark, so it may well just be kind of the eye test has failed me somewhat. But I feel like the big games I've watched Manchester City in this season, I've been left feeling somewhat underwhelmed by the end of it. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. 100%, Jack. They lost to Aston Villa, and deservedly lost to Aston Villa, if you remember. They lost to Arsenal, barely had a shot in that game in the reverse fixture. Liverpool were there for the taking with all the injuries they had a couple of weeks ago. And if anything, it was City that was holding on come the end of that game for the draw. The home game against Liverpool, it wasn't much in that either. They drew 3-3 against Tottenham. They won 1-0 against Spurs away in the FA Cup, but that was like a last-minute goal, wasn't it, from a corner? So, no, I think absolutely fair to say that City have not been at their best in these big matches. They had a very soft Champions League group. They then had a Copenhagen in the last 16. So we haven't seen them up against anybody that's decent in Europe either this season. So, no, I definitely feel like you could... I mean, what's the biggest, best team they've beaten this season? Probably Man United or Spurs. It's not... So definitely something to prove, 100%.
It feels like your lead into your tip, Mark, you're feeling that this might be a slightly defensively minded game. Is that your angle of attack here?
It is, yeah. I would say if there's an early goal, it could blow it wide open and you could end up with like this Newcastle-Liverpool 4-4, like great game that was, is on Premier League years in 30 years' time and we all remember where we were for it. I think the more likely outcome is actually under 2.5 goals and it's odds against 11-10. You can't underplay how big the game is. So I think it's not a final, but it might feel like a final. And generally in these really big games, the goal expectancy comes down. Arsenal, easily the best defence in the Premier League this season. And then City, I've just reeled off their games, but 1-0 defeat to Arsenal in the reverse fixture, 1-0 at Villa. And if you have a look at their games against the top five this season, all of them against the sort of top four have been under 2.5. And then if you sort of increase that to the top five, it was just that 3-3 against Tottenham when Spurs didn't have any centre-backs that was kind of chaotic. And when it was tighter, they won 1-0 in there in the cup. So, under 2.5 goals is the way I'm leading for this game. But even if it's low scoring, I think it will be... We'll put it in the intriguing category.
The best kind. Let's get on to the rest of the Premier League fixtures. The early kickoff on Saturday, it's Newcastle against West Ham. 5-6 Newcastle, 16-5 the draw, 14-5 West Ham. How do you see this one going, Mark?
Going to go sort of tentatively for a Newcastle win. They're decent at home. 9 wins in 14 in the Premier League. 2 of the 3 defeats were against Liverpool and Man City. No disgrace in that. West Ham, I find, very inconsistent side. But they've got, I would say, bigger games to come. Spurs on the Tuesday is always one they like to get up for. Then they've got their sort of Europa League games as well. I'm not sure how much focus they've got in sort of Premier League games at the moment, particularly those away from home.
Okay, let's take a look at Bournemouth against Everton. 23-20 Bournemouth, 13-5 the draw, 9-4 Everton. I must say, Mark, when I was sort of running through the fixtures, this was one of them that I was going, struggling to split this.
Yeah, draw is the way I'm going. Bournemouth getting a lot of credit for the way that they've been playing. I've enjoyed it, but it is only 2 wins in their last 10 Premier League matches. Everton have won 1 of their last 16 in all competitions. They have drawn 5 of their last 8 in the Premier League. I expect them to be defensively dour at Dean Court, and whether Bournemouth have got the sort of capabilities to break them down, not so sure.
Okay, let's take a look at Chelsea against Burnley. 2-7 the home side, 5-1 the draw, 17-2 Burnley. Any hope for the away side here?
Don't think so. I mean, their biggest hope is to just keep praying that more teams get points deducted. They might be able to stay up that way. No, I'm going to go for Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals, slightly odds on, around about 3-4. Chelsea's 9 home games since Christmas. There's been a win for Chelsea and over 2.5 goals in 6 of those matches. So we and everybody else have sort of taken the mickey out of Pochettino and Chelsea at times. But generally speaking, at home, particularly against the weaker teams in recent months, they've been perfectly fine.
Must be strange being a Burnley or a Luton this season, Mark, when teams around you are picking up points deductions. And it must, I think you get to a stage in the season when you're down in the bottom and you almost want to give up because it's the hope that kills you, and they keep getting sort of external lifelines handed to them.
They do, yeah. And the game we'll talk about next, Nottingham Forest against Crystal Palace. Since we last spoke, Forest, of course, got that points deduction, didn't they? And drags them sort of deep into the mire. And the most unsatisfactory thing about all of this, of course, is that they've got until after the season, Forest, to sort of for their appeal to be heard. That could
How does that work? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that could be incredibly messy. And I don't like that. That, you know, the promotion, well, relegation and survival could be decided almost VAR. It's VAR to new extremes, isn't it? That we find it out on Sky Sports News rather than on the pitch. Yeah, that will not be to my liking.
So what would happen if Forest were to get relegated, let's say, and then their appeal wins? Do they then stay up?
Or... Yeah, they do. Yeah, they start. Because, I mean, Everton obviously had their, you know, they were deducted 10 points and then they got some of them back. So, yeah, I don't know how they come to the point deduction that they come to. And it's a bit of a, well, it feels like a free hit for Nottingham Forest. Why would you not appeal it? What's going to happen if you don't? So, yeah, it could get very awkward. And it's likely to be tight now down there between them and Luton, for sure.
You often sort of avoid, well, I certainly do, avoid the relegation markets in the EFL because you know that there's going to be a couple of teams pick up points deduction. It's getting that way in the Premier League now, isn't it? To a little bit.
It will. And if Leicester go up, I mean, who knows what sort of punishment they might face if they get promoted, in next season's Premier League. It's not great, is it?
No, it's really not. You were trying to tee up Forest against Palace. I was trying my best to stall you because I can't say I'm overly excited for this one. Are you?
No, I'm not. Nottingham Forest slight favourites to win the game. But, I mean, there's only been five goals in their last four matches. Palace have not won away since early November. I just see it as a tight game. Under 2.5 at 8-11. There's been loads of goals in the Premier League this season. This one might not follow suit.
Okay, let's take a look at Sheffield United against Fulham. 7-2, Sheffield United 3-1, the draw 8-11. Fulham, another tough ask for Sheffield United. I think these are the games as fans of, you know, teams down the bottom that you pinpoint, but it's, I don't know if you can pinpoint any game as a Sheffield United fan at the moment.
No, difficult. I'm going to go for Fulham to win. 1-4 of their last six, including absolutely walloping my boys Tottenham before the international break. They've beaten Brighton and Man United. Even when they dropped the points and lost at Villa, at home to Villa and then at Wolves, they were on sort of shots and possession, sort of the better team. I'd said that I'd struggled to work Fulham out this season. Would say I was so impressed with them against Tottenham. I mean, 3-0, you need the rubber, the green in terms of, like, you know, the goals that went in. I think sort of the second and third ones slightly there was some fortune about them. But actually, in the overall play, Fulham were definitely the better team against Tottenham. If they play like that, they'll beat Sheffield United.
Loving the look of their new stand as well, with the swimming pool and bars. Yeah. I could imagine you sort of laid back, a nice sunbed.
Not beer the prices. In hand. Not the prices they charge at Fulham. Goodness me.
Let's take a look at Spurs against Luton. Spurs 1-5, 7-1 the draw, 10-1. Luton, Mark, where's the value here?
Yeah, struggling with this one. Might be a sort of negative atmosphere at Tottenham for this game. Season ticket, sort of big hikes were announced. Sort of, this is the first home game since those. Punishing senior citizens and the kind of concessions for them are going to be sort of wiped out in time and sort of get less and less each year, which has gone down like absolute lead balloon. And
tactic to try and sort of bring more younger fans in? Or...
Well, it's seen as two things. One is that the Spurs fans see it as a case of they just want, they want tourists in there, people that are visiting London for a weekend. Right. They'd rather get them in. They spend £100 at the club shop as well as the ticket. There isn't, I don't know how they police the kind of, the sort of OAP tickets, because there's nobody checking your ticket when you go in. So maybe there's fears they don't want to talk about there in terms of people jibbing in on an OAP ticket because you just swipe them. And not something I'd do, Jack, I wouldn't dream of doing something like that. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to make excuses for them because, on the face of it, it's absolute sort of scum territory, isn't it, to sort of charge the fans that have been so loyal for so long, kind of not to give them any concession, just feels feels nasty, as Steve Palmer would say. So for this game, I think Tottenham will win, but not at the prices. I'm going to go for Luton to score first at 16-5. I think it'll be a crazy game. If you have a look at the sort of over-under goals, over 3.5 is favourite, which doesn't happen too often in Premier League matches. Spurs have conceded first in 7 of their last 9 games, and they're not scoring many goals in the first half at the moment. Luton did get the first goal at Anfield as well, didn't they? So, you know, if there is any kind of angst in the stands, Luton might be able to take early advantage. I think Spurs will probably win, but could be a bit of a ding-donger this game.
We're going to see you down there with sort of painted bed sheets and protesting.
No, I think we've just got to turn our back in the 65th minute. I think that's the staged protest.
Know you're going to score then as well.
I might be in the toilet at that stage as well. It's quite a long way from the first whistle, isn't it?
Let's take a look at Aston Villa against Wolves. 3-5 Villa, 10-3 the draw, 4-1. Wolves, Mark, how do you see this one going?
I'm going to go for Wolves or draw, double chance of Wolves not to lose. Villa still missing McGinn and Kamara, which is a big part of their midfield. 5 wins from 12 in the Premier League for Aston Villa, which isn't great anyway. But if you actually look at beyond that, I mean, 4 of those wins were against Burnley, Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest and Luton. So they haven't been beating too many good teams recently, Wolves. Aston Villa. And Wolves, I think, are a decent side. They've got a lot of injuries, though. That's the biggest concern and why I've not put Wolves up to win the game. But they might be able to hold on for a point.
I don't know if we... Have we spoken since they lost to Coventry in the Cup? I didn't see that one coming. You'd spoken Coventry up. I mean,
Tipped Cov not to lose the game. It was one of the games of the season.
I thought they would have really, really gone for that one. But yeah, there we go.
They've just got players missing up front at the moment that's hurting them. And Neto could be out for the season. Such an important player for them.
Absolutely. Saturday, 8:00, Brentford against Manchester United. 2-1 Brentford, 14-5 the draw, 6-5 United. Have we figured United out yet?
No, we haven't spoken since their game against Liverpool. What a game that was. Heartbreak for the treble that we put up because United's last minute equaliser ruined it. It summed United up, didn't it? They were good in parts and bad in others, and that makes them just a difficult team to weigh up and not one I want to back at sort of short enough prices away from home. I'm going to go for Brentford, draw no bet. Since Ivan Toney returned, Brentford have actually only had 4 home games. They beat Forest, drew with Chelsea, lost to City and Liverpool. They've scored in 14 of their 16 home games. And so if they do get sort of one, can you trust United to sort of back up that Liverpool performance? I don't know. I'm not saying they can't. I just don't want to risk my own money on them being able to do it.
Yeah, completely agree. 2 games on the Sunday. We've already previewed the City-Arsenal game. So let's take a look at the early kickoff. Liverpool hosting Brighton, 4-11. Liverpool, 9-2. The draw, 13-2. Brighton, Liverpool, strange game that against United, wasn't it? Because it should have been out of sight, I think. And you know, we can say that United looked good in spells, but it felt like it was Liverpool's game that they lost.
Yeah, they did. No, that's a good summary. I agree. They were just careless. It was almost like, oh, we can score a third goal whenever we want, rather than actually really putting the pedal down and getting that third goal. They had breakaways, didn't they? They were sort of walking through that United midfield at times. And then they've gone out. And I don't know if some of the players and the fans were kind of wanting to almost humiliate United in some respects without actually just going on to win the game or in the last few minutes shutting it down. Liverpool should have won. I mean, a gutting way for them to sort of blow the quad chances, but they've got an opportunity to go top of the Premier League. I think they'll take it against Brighton. A few different ways to play it. I think there'll be a lot of goals. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win 3-1. Brighton have scored in 6 of their 7 games against the top 6 this season, so even though they're not playing quite to the standard they were, still pack a punch going forward. But defensively, just can't really trust them at the moment, and you know, they're just not as good as they were last season. I don't know if that's injuries, the games catching up with them, or just the fact they overachieved slightly last year. It could be a combination of all of them. Expect Liverpool to win and then, and you know, put the pressure on City and Arsenal in the game that follows. But what a great Easter we've got.
Yeah, really exciting. Easter egg hunt planned, Mark?
I've only done that once. I have to pat myself on the back and say I was brilliant at it. Some of the kind of...
What, in terms of the hiding or the finding?
The clues I was giving the kids, write sort of limericks almost to sort of that to try and work out where we were heading. These days, I haven't got time to hide the eggs. Let's just get
them. Oh, come on.
Let's just eat them. There's a lot to get through, so let's concentrate on the eating of them. Otherwise, we'll still have them at Christmas. And that I'm the only half joking there. The amount the kids get, I have to help them sort of get through it all.
Sounds awful. Sounds absolutely awful.
Tough life. Someone's got to do it.
That's your Premier League card, Mark. Let's get on to the EFL. So much to get through with Dan Charles.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets.
It is a very busy period in the EFL. We need the thoughts of Dan Charles to approach this period with calmness, with clarity. But before we get the selections for the upcoming days, let's get a word on Colchester United, Dan. I think the last time we spoke, if you look at the league table and you hear someone talking sweetly of Colchester United, you sort of ask them if they're okay or not. But They're on the telly, weren't they, against Mansfield? Quite sharp in that. You think they're going to be okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to sound really weird that we're in like end of March and saying the team is probably in a bit of a false position. But I think we've and they're 1 point at the moment above the relegation zone, 1 point above Sutton, Sutton United in that relegation battle, and Forest Green as well, obviously in the drop zone. And, but I do feel since Danny Cowley's gone in there in January, they've clearly been a lot more competitive. I mean, they've 11 games since he's gone in there, drawn 8 of them. That's not really helped, but they've lost 2-1-1. But you look at their form before Danny Cowley went in; they'd lost 17 of 26 games. So they've become much more competitive. The key for them is to turn some of these draws into wins, which they've been talking about for a long time. But I watched the game that was televised away to Mansfield last weekend. You don't get a more difficult game than that at the moment in League Two. Colchester took the lead, ended up drawing the game 1-1. Really, a draw was fully deserved. So if you can go there, play well and draw and get a deserved draw away to Mansfield, at the top of the league, you'd have to fancy them to do reasonably well for the rest of the season. They've got 3 games in hand, actually, on Sutton, 2 in hand on Forest Green. And the key is that those 3 games in hand on Sutton, they're all home games. They've got 9 games to go, 6 of them are at home, which is why I'm sort of suggesting they might be in a false position. I think by the end of the season, they'll be actually comfortably clear of the relegation zone. Clearly, it won't feel comfortable for Colchester fans at the moment with 1 point off the drop zone, but I do think they'll be okay.
So you say there, Dan, about not feeling comfortable. It's almost what you don't want to hear when you're a fan of a club. He's struggling in terms of league position, and you've got people going, oh, you're better than where you are, et cetera, et cetera. You go, well, there's not a lot of time left to kind of turn this round.
And it's one of them situations where, I mean, so many of them draws, if you'd won a few of them games and maybe lost a few, you could be talking, just through winning a few and losing a few, you could be 3 or 4 points better off, which would make a massive difference to how they feel now. I do think that they're playing certainly well enough to win a lot of them remaining games, especially the home ones.
Okay, Colchester United fans can sleep easy. 3 selections for the upcoming fixtures. Dan, who's the first?
Yeah, we'll start off in the Championship. Hull at home to Stoke. Fancy Hull to win this one. Only a shade of odds on. Been drawing a little bit like Colchester. Been drawing a lot of games recently. 4 draws in a row, Hull. That sort of, as you'll be aware of, Jack, they've dropped 3 points behind Norwich in the race for that final playoff place. Coventry are kind of involved in that as well. Middlesbrough, a push, could maybe, contest that position. But I think I would feel it's out of Norwich and Hull to get that spot. And Hull, they have been pretty good since the sort of that January sort of transfer window spree where they brought in a lot of quality players, quite a few good loan signings. Anas Zerouri, I'm thinking of, Fabio Carvalho. Those are two of the more high-profile ones. Ryan Giles, another guy that they brought in. But since then, last 10 games, they've took 19 points, 5 wins, 4 draws, 1 defeat. They have drawn the last 4. The last of those was a 2-2 draw at home to Leicester. That also last month, they had a great 2-1 win away to Southampton. So their performances, Hull, have been really strong for a while. And I just think that home to Stoke, that price, a shade of odds on. Stoke have been struggling for a while. Eight losses in their last 11. Only 2 points above the relegation zone. At real risk of dropping into League One. Now, they've got a few issues in midfield for this game as well. Wouter Burger, who's been quite a key midfielder for them this season, he's completing a 2-game ban. Ben Pittison, who would have been a good replacement for him, he went off injury in the last game when they lost 3-0 at home to Norwich and were really poor in that game, with Pearson only lasting 20-odd minutes and Berger missing the whole game. So, obviously, you would say, Jack, that was just Norwich being outstanding and brilliant. But Stoke was certainly poor in that game against the team pushing for the playoffs, playing another team pushing for the playoffs this weekend and away from home. So, Hull, for me, look a solid bet.
Yeah, that Stoke 3-0 against Norwich, the game completely changed when Pearson went off. I must say, fearful of Hull in the run-in for the top six. We started with the Championship. Where are we heading next?
Going to go to League One, a League One relegation battle. Fleetwood at home to Cheltenham. I mean, both of these teams at the moment are where they don't want to be. Fleetwood second from bottom, Cheltenham third from bottom. I'm going to go for Fleetwood to win this one at home. Both teams are going to be looking for a win. Fleetwood a shade of odds against. Despite being in that drop zone, there's hope for these sides. You look at the teams that they're chasing on 39 points. Burton and Cambridge are in dreadful form, both of those sides at the moment. So Fleetwood have got 5 points to make up to get to safety. Cheltenham, 4 points. And I think they're going to be looking at those two clubs and thinking that we've got a real chance here of getting above one or possibly both of those. At the moment, the more likely to do that, I would say, is Fleetwood. They've only lost 2 of the last 12 games, actually. So they've been, you know, playing quite well for a while. Bit like Colchester and Hull, a lot of draws in there, 7 draws, but they're competitive. And this is a game that they're going to be looking at it. Cheltenham at home. Cheltenham no winning 6 at the moment. They've hit a bit of a dip when you least want it. So Fleetwood, given their recent form, I think look a solid bet to win at home.
Okay, great stuff. Third and final pick.
Sticking the same division, this time looking at the playoffs. Lincoln at home to Leighton Orient. I'm going to go for Leighton Orient to get at least a point here. So Leighton Orient or draw, double chance. Now, I got my fingers burned a bit opposing Lincoln last time out. They won 5-0 at home to Bristol Rovers. And people are going to think I'm mad here because their last 3 games, Lincoln, they've won 5-1 away to Barnsley, 6-0 at home to Cambridge, and then 5-0 at home to Bristol Rovers. So their form is incredible at the moment. However, every team relies on key players in certain areas of the pitch. Towards the end of that Bristol Rovers game, Ethan Erhahon, who is a very key midfielder for them by all accounts, he got a red card. He's suspended. Ethan Hamilton, another key midfielder, he's been out injured for the last couple of months. So to lose both of them out of that key central midfield area, both very energetic players, I think that's quite a bit of a blow for Lincoln for this game. Leighton Orient away from home, they've took 16 points from the last 8 away games. Last of those games, they won 1-0 away to Stevenage, another playoff-chasing team. So I think they can get at least a point here at Lincoln, and I'll back them to avoid defeat.
OK, Dan, great stuff. Thanks as always.
You're welcome, Jack.
Right, let's get on to some of Mark's best bets then for this weekend. We had a winning bet builder. It felt like an age ago, but it was our last episode. It was an 8-1 winner, Mark. Save again, please.
Yeah, I mean, it was in about the 110th minute that Gusto got the assist for Chelsea, but we'll take it. You get enough rough luck during the season. I'd have loved it to have been on City v Arsenal, because I know that that's when, you know, most people are going to be watching that game and therefore probably having a bet on it. But there wasn't much that stood out to me. So I am going for the earlier game on Sunday, Liverpool against Brighton. This one comes out about 8-1 as well. So both teams to score. Brighton have scored in 9 of their last 10 games against Liverpool. So, yeah, they're not overawed by that occasion and have caused them problems in the past. I'm going to go for over 3 goals in the game. So 4 or more goals. Just don't think Brighton are defending well. And, you know, Dunk made mistakes in both of those England games as well, which hasn't done his hopes of sort of a Euro spot any good. So they're the sort of two, I suppose, more obvious ones. And then I'm going to go for Estupiñán to be carded. He started with four cards in his first seven games, got injured. He's had three in his last eight, and he's up against Mohamed Salah. So, yeah, it could be a sort of tough 90 minutes for the left back or left wing back, because if Salah's sort of in the groove, it's never easy, is it, for the fullback?
No, absolutely not. Around about 8-1. Let's try and find another winner there. A treble for this weekend. And see on the run order, we're going for something a little bit different with this.
Yeah, a win and both teams to score, treble. So Tottenham to beat Luton and both teams to score. That's landed in 8 of Tottenham's 10 home wins in the Premier League this season. Then in the Bundesliga, it's Der Klassiker, Bayern to beat Borussia Dortmund, and both teams to score. Last 9 meetings between these two teams, all gone over 3.5 goals. There have been 43 goals in those 9 games. So that should live up to its name. And then finally, just explained it really, but Liverpool to beat Brighton and both teams to score. Brighton do usually score at Anfield. Liverpool usually score wherever they play. So expecting Liverpool to win. Might not be completely straightforward though.
Okay, comes out around about 10-1. We'll finish things off with your strongest bet for the week. What's the nap?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Stamford Bridge on Saturday, metaphorically. That wouldn't be very welcome there as a Spurs fan, but going for Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier on, since Christmas, the Blues have cruised to many a home win. If you go, the other Monday night against Newcastle, they've had FA Cup wins against Leicester and Preston and Leeds. And I think really Burnley are that kind of standard, aren't they? You might even say that someone like Leeds and Burnley are better than Leeds and Leicester are even better than Burnley. Both of those games were wins and both high scoring. Burnley need the points. I don't think they'll get them. So, yeah, Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals.
Okay, great stuff, Mark. Just to finish things off, I think when we started out this show, that the aim was to influence people with their betting and inform them with insight. I had two separate messages from different people after the last episode to say that thank you for influencing them on their takeaway behaviours, and they've now started collecting as opposed to getting it delivered. Remember, you said you want complete control, and I think our legacy will be that.
We'll put Just Eat and Uber Eats and all the rest of them out of business before too long. Yeah,
great stuff. What are the plans for Easter? Have you got both bank holidays off, or are you?
I'm off for a few days now. So I mean, as it's a week, so there's a family birthday on Friday. Sure. One of my nieces. Saturday, I'm at Spurs. Sunday, I'm in front of the TV watching that Premier League Super Sunday. Haven't decided yet on Monday. How about
Leicester,
you, Jack?
Leicester Norwich Monday.
There's a whole host of EFL games. It's just whether I can get away with it Sunday and Monday. But it's a big old one for my boys Ipswich in the battle for automatic promotion. So I do want to watch both those games if I can.
Well, it Derby next week as well. I cannot believe how quickly that's cropped. I think I've been nervy for this one since about 2 minutes after full time of the last time we played them. On Sweet Spot, Mark, there's tradition now that Steve actually seemingly tips up more sort of darts and snooker tips than actual golf tips now. And you mentioned how excited you were for the upcoming Snooker World Champs. Any eyes on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's probably too soon. You want to have a look at the draw and sort of how the qualifiers are going. But I think Ronnie O'Sullivan, when there's been a big tournament this season, he's turned up. I know Steve on Sweet Spot on the golf show has been putting Ronnie up for most of this year, hasn't he? I concur. I think if he's focused, he'll take the world a beating. But hopefully nearer the time, I might have one at a bigger price that can give him a run.
I wait in anticipation. Well, Mark, enjoy your Easter break. A big thanks to Dan Childs as well. If you're following in on any of the selections, please remember to do so responsibly. And we will be back next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.